but they also have some interpretation by docents. We are working with the docents here in Georgia and at the Tennessee Aquarium and also at Zoo Atlanta to understand how these experts in interpretation figure out what a visitor wants to know about. We're also working with the experts at these facilities in terms of animal behavior. What is that movement really all about? If a fish rises to the surface, is it feeding? Is it basking? What is the purpose of that? Our computers can track what a fish is doing and where it's going, but we need those animal behavior experts to tell us why it's doing it and what it means. Then we can take that information, that more important information about why, and then communicate that to the visitors, especially the visitors who can't see it.
Bruce, in aquarium tanks, you see a lot of rocks or things that can obscure the visitor's view of the fish. Now, what would happen with these audible cues if the visitor is not able to see the fish?
When we are mapping the movement and location of a fish onto music, there may be many fish and therefore many musical instruments. So there might be a trumpet representing a clownfish, there might be a trombone representing a yellow tang, and so on. When one of those fish disappears from view because it hides behind a rock or it swims behind some feature in the environment, we often will have the music for that instrument fade away until the fish reappears, and then the music for that particular instrument, the trumpet, say, reemerges, starts playing again. So there's always this sense of the number of musical instruments that are audible at any given time more or less represents the number of fish that are visible. And if for some reason someone went up to the front of the tank and started waving and scared all the fish away, all the fish might retreat to their rocks, and the music would reflect that. If things calm down, then the fish start coming out and being curious again. The music would become more polyphonous. You'd hear more voices, more instruments in the music, and that would be a clear indication that more fish were visible.
Just to clarify, when I asked that last question and I mentioned when a visitor isn't able to see a fish, just so the listeners know, what I meant is if a fish was in a position that a sighted person couldn't see. So I just want to clear up any confusion about that. Bruce, with whom did you work at Georgia Tech, or with whom are you working on this project at Georgia Tech?
As you can imagine, this is such an interdisciplinary kind of project that we have assembled a fairly wide-ranging team. We have researchers at the Center for Assistive Technology and Environmental Access, which is also known as CATIA. That's one of our long-running research centers for assistive technology issues. We also have researchers in the School of Psychology, in particular my sonification lab. We have researchers in the College of Computing, and certainly our School of Music. So you can imagine the music, psychology, technology, and assistive technology and vision impairment issues all have representation by experts here at Georgia Tech.
Bruce, I know we've been talking about fish, but have you been able to track other types of animals with this technology?
The tracking technology that we use has been used to track smaller creatures like honeybees and ants, and larger creatures, including humans. So we can track all different kinds of creatures, and they can be, you know, similar kinds of things like an exhibit with many ants that all look the same, or they can be very different kinds of creatures like tropical fish in a fish tank where you've got blue and orange and yellow and various different colors happening as well. So we can track many things. We're also working now with the zoo here in Atlanta and anticipate tracking things other than fish and turning them into music as well.
To wrap things up, Bruce, how can listeners find out more about the Accessible Aquarium Project?
We'd love to have people check out our webpage, and there are some details about what we're up to, who's involved, We also have plenty of sample videos with audio so that people can understand more of how things sound and how these sounds correlate to the movement of the fish. So our website is available, and by all means, people can email me or contact me here at Georgia Tech.
Bruce, would you happen to have your email address there with you?
By all means. It's very simple. It's bruce.walker@gatech.edu. bruce.walker@gatech.edu.
Thank you so much for being with us. We've been speaking with Bruce Walker, who's an associate professor in the School of Psychology and the School of Interactive Computing at Georgia Tech in Atlanta. This is Ion Vision.